personal problems. And I'm very glad to be here. I'm very glad to see so many people. I'm glad to see the wonderful representation of multiple sites, as well as the partners of the CTRAC clinical trial in AVF. And I wanted to say that last time when I did the presentation over the Webex, only at the very end I was told that the video didn't go through and it was just a frozen face on the screen, and not from the best side of my face, as I can say. This time is better, and I would like to thank ABF for partially supporting my travel to this meeting. Thank you. As always, disclosure. I do not have any conflicts with this presentation, and again, I do have some participation in related activities that will not affect this presentation. As you all know, conducting clinical trial is a very difficult task, and conducting NIH-supported clinical trials is even more a challenge. NIH doesn't give a lot of the compensation proportion for clinical trials, and you definitely feel that compared to industry, but at the same time, NIH assures that the clinical trials that are being supported are done in the best possible way with least amount of bias. And the clinical trials conducted under NIH support are pretty much those clinical trials that determine what the standard of care will be. In order to participate in NIH clinical trials, you definitely have to go through jump through hoops and loops more than usually when you do clinical trials for industry. In order to support clinical trials that are being paid by the taxpayers' money, NHLBI, the institute that I represent, and by the way, NHLBI is third largest institute at NIH, and overall, there are 27 different institutes and centers. So please don't say National Institute of Health. It is National Institutes of Health. There are many of that. But again, 92% of the Congress allocated money go to investigators outside of the NIH. So you are recipients of that money. With emphasis to the clinical trials, NHLBI recently changed the mechanisms that support clinical trials to make a lot of emphasis on how the clinical trials are progressing. It is unjustifiable to give money to the study that cannot enroll patients, cannot achieve milestones that were planned, cannot complete what was initially imagined. And as you can see on the multiple, there are multiple mechanisms, but at the same time, there are multiple stopping places for funding of the clinical trials. I'm not trying to scare you, I'm just saying how things are. And the best way to be assured that the funding will keep coming and the study will keep going is to actually do what you plan to do initially and tell us about that as soon as possible so we can put a check mark and keep your study in the green. As Dr. Mandanta mentioned, this study was not just funded. It was a long process that took many years and many people and a lot of effort to think and design the first planning phase and then move forward from there, kind of assuring the funding agency that people who are planning to do CTRAC really know what they're doing. And so far I can say, yes, they do know what they are doing. A lot was done prior to C-TRACT, and Dr. Vendetta also mentioned a TRACT clinical trial, which I was proud to be part of since the very beginning. And that was a very interesting study that ended up to be recognized as 10 best clinical studies in the United States. However, at the same time, Dr. Camerota, I think, perfectly described the ATTRACT clinical trial. It was very well designed, great study, which gave us a lot of very important lessons that we learned. And I can see that a lot of those lessons were implemented in the C-TRACT clinical study. Now, I did talk to Dr. Van Denten before showing the beautiful photo, well, picture of him, and I received a very encouraging response that I can use it. And the response was, well, everyone else is using that. Why don't federal government use that now? So, but the point of that is that a TRACT clinical trial was the true milestone that developed Dr. Van Denten as the absolutely wonderful clinical trial investigator, clinical investigator in general, as well as many other people who participated in C-TRACT and leadership of the C-TRACT, became very confident in the research that they are moving forward with. As well as, I do believe that a TRACT clinical trial established the, I would say, a network, maybe not very formalized network, but a network of wonderful sites, wonderful participants, wonderful coordinators that they willing and they can do studies like C-TRACT. And they are not afraid of the NIH kind of bureaucratic ways of looking at some things. For example, this is just a part of the mechanism of how the NHLBI addresses the issue of severe adverse events. The leadership of the C-TRACT very proactively moved forward to collaborate with different professional organizations. I think that is very important for C-TRACT because patients are not there necessarily in a hospital. You have to find them. And the question of enrollment is becoming a very important question for the C-TRACT to focus on. Especially, I would like to highlight the collaboration of the C-TRACT and American Venous Forum. This is something that NHLBI doesn't see very often. To say the truth, I did not see that before yet. And I think that NHLBI will be carefully looking at the outcome of this truly partnership, because American Venous Forum is going above and beyond to support the C-TRACT clinical trial. And I think that could be a very good representation of the trial or NIH-supported study and professional organization partnership that can be moved forward and propagated to other studies in the future. Well, I wouldn't represent the federal government if I wouldn't talk about other things, and not that wonderful things. Considering that, again, you are using taxpayers' money, there is a lot of accountability for that. And once funded, the clinical trial is going through multiple steps of peer review, administrative review. As Dr. Van Denten mentioned, UG3 phase, first year of C-TRACT clinical trial, was actually a pilot from NIH point of view. That means if you do everything that you promised to do during the first year, you will get the rest of the money for the future clinical trial. And again, it's not just all of the money, it's per year. If you don't, you don't. And track successfully completed in the first year. Now you are in so-called UH3 phase. NIH is not necessarily an IRS, but to say the truth, for the clinical trials, it's getting very close. And especially in the season coming up, I think the analogy was very appropriate. I encourage you to please do what you can. We have to watch you very carefully. We have to watch the progress of the study. We really have to, if it's possible, we'll try to make your bureaucratic communication with NIH less bureaucratic or less painful. But what we will not be able to do, and definitely will not do, is to give you a slack on performance. Enrollment is very important. This is how we measure the progress of the clinical trial. And by the way, this screenshot of the of one of the monitoring things that we use was done a little bit some time ago when that line was green. Now it's orange, and it's not that far, if things will be going the way they're going right now, that it will become red. And red means we need to take an action. So please, enroll. We know you can. You already showed that at the track clinical trial. You showed that by coming here to this meeting, which means you're interested. There are multiple ways that you can, I hope, that you can emphasize the enrollment process. So please do that. Please don't make NIH do what NIH can do if you don't. And with that, I just wanted to say that in 2007, I gave Dr. Van Denton my cell phone number for a track clinical trial. Well, I will not repeat that mistake. And here is my office phone number and my email. So please.